Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The Texans head to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs Sunday. When asked about Patrick Mahomes, Houston quarterback Deshaun Watson said they're, quote, very similar. Since being drafted in 2017, both QBs have just over 7,000 passing yards. They're within 5 touchdowns of each other, and both have fewer than 20 interceptions. The one glaring difference, Watson has been sacked 64 more times than Mahomes has. And that adds up. Shannon, do you agree that Watson and Mahomes are similar to each other?
In certain aspects, both guys are mobile. Deshaun, I believe, is a little bit more mobile than Patrick Mahomes. Both guys has arm talent, but there might not be three, four guys in the history of the NFL, in the 100-year history of the NFL, have better arm talent than Patrick Mahomes. I've never seen a guy that can throw from the platforms, the distance in which he can throw the football, with the accuracy in which he can throw the football. Skip, the guy can literally roll left for a right-handed quarterback, throw completely across his body for 40 yards. That throw that he made for the touchdown, Skip, there hadn't been a whole lot of guys in NFL history that could make that throw.
Agreed.
A lot of guys, when they throw the ball across their body, Skip, they have to pull up, come to a stop, and throw the ball. He doesn't have to do that. He can throw the ball off his right foot. He can throw the ball off his left foot. You won't see very many guys that can do that. The ability to escape sacks, I think both have great ability to get out of harm's way. But mobile quarterbacks, and Deshaun is the more mobile of the two quarterbacks, yep, runs himself into sacks. This is not all on his offensive line.
Yep.
Skip, Randall Cunningham got sacked a lot. Mm-hmm. Michael Vick got sacked a lot.
True.
Cam Newton, we're talking about some of the most mobile quarterbacks in NFL history. Because while they run themselves out of sacks on the backside, they run themselves into sacks on the front side. They hold on to the ball too long trying to make big plays. Deshaun Watson is unbelievable. But right now, Patrick Mahomes is on a different level than any quarterback. And so while I get where he's saying, and you think about it now, Deshaun got an earlier start. He started 6 games in 2017, Skip, mm-hmm, his rookie season. Mahomes only started 1 game, so he got about, what, maybe 1,600 yards ahead of him,
yep,
by playing those games. But right now, Skip, Mahomes is on a different level. Deshaun is playing unbelievable, but right now, Pat Mahomes is by himself.
Okay, I hear everything you just said. Now, for the record, speaking of sacks, Patrick Mahomes has started 22 regular season games and been sacked 35 times. Deshaun's 27 starts, so 5 more starts, but he's been sacked 99 times. He has taken a lot of abuse. And remember, last year, yes, it got so bad he had chest, lung injuries, and he had to take the bus all the way to Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
His body has been a wreck, and yet he has not missed a single start. So give him a big star for,
correct,
that one, because this is a tough,
oh, absolutely,
young man, mentally and especially physically. Tough young man. I will give you,
absolutely,
the arm talent, because they say Josh Allen has a little stronger arm. I don't know. It doesn't manifest itself in his quarterback production yet. Maybe it will at some point. But to me, Patrick Mahomes has the strongest arm in football, and he's able to harness that arm strength better than anybody can harness it.
Right.
And again,
right,
we know all the bells and whistles, the left-handed passes. Maybe it's next week it'll be, or this Sunday, behind the back, between the legs. I don't know. It's no looks. It's whatever. He is a globetrotter playing quarterback. So I give you all,
yes,
of that. But I'm going to dig in on this because I am a huge Deshaun fan, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not, yep, give up hanging on to those 2 games he played in the national championship games against Nick Saban's defense. In the first one, he threw for 405 and four touchdowns and ran for another 73 yards. And as you know, they lost a fairly close game. And then he beat Coach Saban's team by throwing for 420 and three touchdowns. And obviously, he hit Hunter Renfrow with the game winner with a couple seconds left, and that canceled out a 30-yard Jalen Hurts run that had put Bama ahead before that. Jalen Hurts is going to play a little game tomorrow at noon Eastern time. It's neither here nor there. He doesn't play for Alabama. He plays for Oklahoma now. We'll see how that goes. But the point is that I dug in then and said, hey, Deshaun Watson's intangibles are off the charts. And I still believe his intangibles are better than Patrick Mahomes. And I'm talking about big game, late game, clutch intangibles, and leadership intangibles. Not that Patrick's a bad leader. I just don't think he can measure up to how that Houston team follows Deshaun, how they play for him, how they fight for him. There's something in that young man that is very, very special. So long term, if he can, again, you're right, he deserves some of the blame for the sacks. If he can figure out how to avoid sacks by just simply making a quicker decision and get rid of the ball, if he can stay healthy, if they can get a little better and a little better and beef up the offensive line and protect him a little better going forward, I believe that long term, he'll turn out to be the better quarterback between him and Patrick Mahomes. And I know right now that doesn't look good, but I just love this guy. And again, I like Patrick Mahomes, but I've always loved Deshaun.
Yeah, Skip, there's nothing not to like about Deshaun Watson because, like you said, he's very mobile. He can get out of the pocket. He can hurt you with his legs. And plus, when he gets outside of the pocket, he can throw the ball down the field. I just feel like when he gets – he's more dangerous outside of the pocket with his legs, where Patrick Mahomes is more dangerous outside of the pocket with his arms. I feel that's really the difference between the two. You can't go really wrong. But the way Patrick Mahomes is playing the position right now, Skip, and the weapons that he has, I mean, eventually he's going to get Tyreek Hill back. Eventually he's going to get Sammy Watkins back. Eric Fisher, the left tackle, is going to come back. So you'll get an opportunity to see this offense at full strength. Now, he's thrown for 315, didn't get one touchdown. The week before, I think he threw for over 300. He didn't get the ball to the end zone. He won one, lost one. But Deshaun Watson has DeAndre Hopkins. He has Fuller. He has some weapons also. So let's not pretend like all of a sudden Deshaun Watson is just doing this with just smoke and mirror. DeAndre Hopkins is one of the two best receivers in all of football.
He is.
William Fuller just went, almost 200 yards and, three, four touchdowns last week. So he had both of these guys have weapons. Deshaun Watson, Skip, I just don't know how much longer he can take this punishment. He's only 215. 99 sacks on a 215 body, that's sacks. Yeah. We're not talking about the hits, just the knockdowns. And when he scrambles and gets tackled, Pat Mahomes is 230. So he's a bigger body of the two. I believe he can absorb more punishment.
Sure.
Deshaun's going to have to find a way, Skip, like you said. Mm-hmm. Get rid of the football, and you know what? Get out of bounds. It's not worth it to take that shot trying to get a spectacular play or a first down. I now, Skip, if it's fourth down, late in the ball game, I get it.
No, I got it.
But you got to be mindful because these hits accumulate over time and it causes an adverse effect.
Yep, I agree. But Deshaun's mentality is, I will die for the cause. I will throw my body on the line. And obviously, long term, you just can't do that. You can pick your spot occasionally. But in the big picture, if we look at what just happened, the tables turned this past Sunday, because Patrick Mahomes at Kansas City versus Indy was pressured a season-high 38% of his dropbacks. What happened? By his standards, he didn't have a very good game. And they lost at home 19-13 to an Indy defense that didn't have Darius Leonard, one of the best linebackers in football, one of the best defensive players in football, and neither starting safety played for the Colts. So, boy, that was a little shaky by Patrick Mahomes, but a lot of it had to do with the pressure that Indy was able to bring. Deshaun Watson, on the other hand, at Houston, was not sacked, and he was hit only one time, albeit by the Atlanta Falcons, and he just threw a party. He threw for 426, five touchdowns, and no interceptions. And that's the fifth time in 28 starts. Think about this. Fifth time in 28 starts, Deshaun Watson has gone five touchdowns and no interceptions. That's pretty extraordinary. but the sacks are muddying the water, you know? So, again, when he gets some time and he's upright in the pocket all day, his QBR was 98, which was pretty great. It's the second best of the season for in pro football.
And the thing you'll skip, but the thing you'll skip, this always has been and it always will be. If you want to, I don't care how great your quarterback is, very few can stand that pressure. If you pressure him and put him on his butt, bad things normally happen for that guy. And that's the way you get to Tom Brady. That's the way you get to Peyton Manning. If you want to Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, it does not matter. You must get them off that mark. If you let them guys have a clean jersey, you're not beating them. You're not. It's not going to happen, Skip. You're not going to beat them.
So is it possible that your homeboy could lose a second straight game at home? Is that possible?
Yeah, it's possible. I keep telling you, Skip, they put man on the moon back in 68. Yep. So anything's possible.
Really?
You want to impress me, put man on Pluto.
Okay.
Now, why would my homeboy, see, you messing with his name, Skip. You better put some respect on that man's name.
I'll put more respect on Deshaun Watson's name.
I feel, you know, J.J. Watt, Merciless, those guys going to be coming. I kind of feel bad for my homeboy because his defense does him no favors. And that's the problem, Skip. And you say, well, he's doing all this. He has to. He has no choice. He knows he must go out there and probably have to score 30 because his defense is going to give up 28. No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners. It's Jenny Taft here to talk to you about 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35. Once you've noticed thinning hair, it can be too late. So the best way to prevent more hair loss is to do something about it while you still have some. Hims is helping guys be the best version of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA-approved products to help treat hair loss. These aren't snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. They're prescription solutions backed by science. 4hims connects you to real doctors online. It's completely confidential and discreet. Just answer a few quick questions, and if a doctor determines 4hims is right for you, they can prescribe you medication to treat hair loss that is shipped directly to your door. Order now. My listeners can get started with the Hims Complete Hair Kit for just $5 today, right now while supplies last, and subject to doctor's approval. See website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy somewhere else. Go to 4hims.com/undisputed. That's forhims.com/undisputed. 4hims.com/undisputed. No mercy.
NBA preseason is in full swing, and Kawhi Leonard made his much-anticipated Clippers debut last night. In just 11 minutes of work, Kawhi put up 7 points, 6 dimes, and a steal. After the game, Kawhi's teammate Landry Shamet called him, quote, the best player in the world.
Why?
I sort of shudder to even go here, Shannon, but I'm going to ask, despite your facial expressions, do you agree that Kawhi is currently the best player in the world?
Hell no. Not even close to being the best player in the world. I mean, what do you expect Landry Shamet to say? Yeah, of course. Kawhi had an unbelievable last season, and yes, he can score the basketball, but the only thing that Kawhi can do better than LeBron James is defend. He can't score the basketball like LeBron. He can't rebound the ball like LeBron. He can't assist the ball like LeBron. He doesn't shoot a high. Here's Kawhi's numbers. Last year, Kawhi had a career year. 26 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists on 46.9 shooting. LeBron James had an off year. 27 points, 8.5 rebounds, 8.3 assists on 51% shooting. An average year, an off year for LeBron James. And his off year was better than Kawhi Leonard's best year ever. And we're going to talk about the man better than LeBron. Really, Skip Bayless? I can't believe they fixed their mouth to say this. He can't run a team. He can't facilitate like LeBron James can. LeBron James can score at an elite level. LeBron James can pass the ball at like Magic Johnson. Come on, Skip. Rebound. Come on, man. Y'all stop this. Don't be a prisoner of the moment. This is not to diminish Kawhi. Kawhi is great. Kawhi is unbelievable. But Kawhi is not a better player than LeBron James. He's not. He's just not. Kawhi didn't make anybody better, and he made Siakam better. No. Each game, there was somebody else stepping up. When Kawhi had an off game, Siakam would step up. Kawhi have an off game, then you got Kyle Lowry. Or you got Pau Gasol. Look, love Kawhi. Happy he's home. Happy finally he's where he wants to be. He's healthy, hopefully. But he's not a better player than LeBron James.
So, just for the record, the best player on this planet right here, right now, is Kevin Durant. But obviously he's hurt.
Stop
and
playing.
Probably, I'm not playing. I mean, it's just the God's truth. But obviously he's
no, it's
out
not.
Of sight, out of mind. So I guess everybody, I don't think he retired, did he? I don't know. Did he quit? I'm not sure about that. But
he's not the best player, Skip.
So he is the best player. But given, if it just comes down to number two, and I'm still not going to speak his name because he quit on my Spurs and he will forever be number two to me. But comes down to number two versus the other guy who shares Staples Center, which is actually the Clippers' house now because they're the slightly better team.
Don't do that, Skip.
Yes,
don't do that, Skip. It's not the Clippers' house.
So if it comes down to these two guys, that's what you have narrowed it down to, then clearly number two is now, as Landry Shamet said, the best player in the world. I don't know if that's – is that different than best player on the planet, in the world? I don't know. I think they're the same thing. Shannon, I hate to tell you, but defense does play a big part of basketball because you have to be a two-way. You can't just be a one-way. And last year, LeBron was mostly a one-way player in a two-way game, right? Because for the regular season, LeBron ranked 95th in defensive win shares. I tell you what he was for the playoffs, but he didn't play in the playoffs. But number two in the playoffs ranked third in all the playoffs in defensive win shares because he's really a good defender. I used to tell you back in his San Antonio days, he's the best two-way player in basketball. And if you do weight defense at all, and I do, maybe like 60-40, if defense is 40% of basketball, then he's just better than LeBron because LeBron became a defensive liability. And all I know is that number two last year, he did beat the regular season MVP in the conference finals, Giannis, obviously. He had a lot of help in doing that, but he outplayed him and he beat him. And then he was the MVP of the NBA finals, so I can't take those two things away. And meanwhile, your guy was watching, or maybe he was reading scripts for Space Jam 2. I don't know what he was doing, but he missed the playoffs because in the games he played last year, he went 28-27 as a starter. So how can you – you're like living in the past if you don't give it up and give in to the new notion that number two is the best player on the planet.
Because I'm just looking at you tell me numbers. I mean, you tell me look at Tom Brady's numbers. What does the numbers say? The numbers say 31-41, and they won the game, right? LeBron – Kawhi Leonard had a career year. Let that sink in. A career year. LeBron James, Skip Bayless, and a lot of others said LeBron James stepped off a cliff, and LeBron had more points, rebounds, and assists, and shot a high field goal percentage than Kawhi, who had a career year, who's what, 6 years younger than LeBron?
Okay.
Granted, I believe LeBron defensive numbers will pick up this year because he won't have the offensive load that he's had the previous 16 years. Mm. He won't need to have to try to get 8, 9, 10 rebounds a game because he has AD, JaVale, and Dwight Howard assisting the ball. Now, I believe those numbers will be on the uptick because I believe for the large part, Skip, whether he's listed as a point guard or not, that's unimportant to me. LeBron James is going to have the ball in his hand the majority of the time, and I believe his assist total will be at a career high. I believe he'll for the first time in his career, year 17, I do believe he'll average double digit in assists.
All I know is that even though it was just preseason game, man, number two looked happy last night. He looked dominant last night because he only played 11 minutes, scored 7 points, but he had 6 assists. He looked like he was really in the flow. And guess who got 3 of his assists? Big Zoo. Remember Big Zoo? Used to love him. He used to be a Laker. Magic just gave him away.
Yeah, but man, you know I love Zoo, Skip, and he was playing. You remember when they played the Nuggets at home, Big Zoo was giving it to him. LeBron was feeding him. He had a game, 20 points and like 8, 9 rebounds, was doing it. And I couldn't believe Magic gave him away. I love his game. Play with his back to the basket. He'll challenge you at the rim, rebound the ball. Yes, I think he can be a very good player. And yes, Kawhi's going to look another defender. You got four defenders right there because he's going to start. So you got Kawhi on one wing, got Paul George on the other. You got Pat Bev in the front end of the thing, and you got Zub on the back end. So, yeah, they're going to be a heck of a deep team defensively.
Yeah, and don't forget,
AD,
number two.
We got Bron.
But number two's PR man, Landry Shamet, right? Right? I think he hired him to do PR.
Exactly.
For him, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, in the end.
We're going to see.
In the end, all that I have to sort of hang on to my last memories of LeBron James, and all I can reach back for last year was.
Don't do it, Skip.
I can't help myself because there was this blooper reel out there. I don't know where it came from, but can we just see it again? LeBron, you threw it off the backboard. Come on, LeBron. Oh, wait a minute. Kuz just pushed him out to cover the three-point shooter. Have you ever seen that before? I've never seen that happen before. LeBron, he's rolling the ball,
Skip.
And then he kicks it out of bounds. Come on, you're better than that. You're the best player on the planet. Wait a second. Mario Hezonja just blocked his last-second shot. Lord have mercy. Come on. That's all you had last year. Those are his highlights, right?
Oh, hold on. Man. So the man plays. Let me get this right. The man plays 55 games, averaging over 27 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, and you pick the four worst plays out of those 55 games and say, this is what your man has become.
There are actually 6 or 8 other ones, but we don't have time, and I don't want to pile on. I just narrow it down to those four.
Yes, you do.
Because Mario Hezonja, oh, God. Now he's a trailblazer, okay. So LeBron's got to see him more.
What about those triple doves? You ain't put any of those. What about that 50-point, that virtuoso when he went on the road to Miami? What about what he did to the Nuggets?
28 Come on, Skip. And 27.
What he did?
Come on, Shannon. I'm sorry. You got to give it up because the Clippers clearly look to be a little better than the Lakers are right now, and it pains me to have
guess
to admit
what, Skip?
It.
We're going
to
fight.
You know, if I can stoop to admitting it, you have to stoop to admitting it. Number two is the best player on the
planet. Guess what? We're going to get to find out in about 11 days. We're going to get to find out. All this bumping the gums ain't going to mean nothing because we're going to see. Kawhi going to have to see us.
Mm. Well.
Somebody got to deal with AD.
Somebody's going to have to deal with Jen's Pelicans because that's must-see TV. Whoa, is that not going to be fun?
I can't wait. No.
Man, we're going to go down there and drink up all them smoothies at the Smoothie
really?
King Center. Yeah. We're going to drink up all them smoothies.
Come see me. Come on.
You know, at some point, fairly soon, maybe that kid named Zion will be challenging for best player on the planet. He just might.
He's well on his way.
I mean, Skip,
he's on his way.
Skip,
yep.
We can't be the best player on the planet for perpetuity. Mm. I mean, we've just been the best player for the past decade. Mm. I mean, nobody's had a stretch this long. Nobody. Has had a stretch as long, a continuous stretch of being the best player on the planet like LeBron James. That's fact.
Okay, I'll give you that. And it means what? It means nothing. Because we're talking about right here, right now.
It means we're about to get that title this year, right here, right now.
Okay. Maybe it means that LeBron's about to catch Michael B. Jordan as an actor. I don't know. That's about all he's going to
catch. There you go. There you go.
Y'all are going to have a fun season of debate. That is for sure. No doubt.
You keep talking. You keep talking.
Fox Sports NFL analyst Eric Dickerson now joining us. Good morning. We appreciate it.
Good morning.
Well, we think it is.
Do we have to talk about this team?
Yeah.
We
What's
do.
Up?
What's we
up,
do.
Shannon?
Yeah.
Do we have to?
Because it's a question. Have they been exposed now?
Well, you know, I said Skip had a tweet. I loved it. It said that Aaron Rodgers has a voodoo doll on his Cowboys. And I tweeted him back. Can we show it when I sent him back? Can we please show it?
Yeah.
Can we pull it up when I showed him?
Yeah.
I said, no, he don't have a voodoo. He got a couple of them.
Couple of
I just got a couple of voodoo dolls.
Three of them. There it is.
That's voodoo dolls, huh?
You know what? And what did I text you back? I think you're right.
I think you're right.
That's actually that they're, it's like he's their daddy.
I think I like the look on Jerry's face like, what? Okay, all right, look. I said this early. I said this from the beginning, Skip. I said, y'all are playing nobody. Mm. Nobody. You played the Giants, you played the Redskins, and you played the Miami Dolphins. Between those three teams, they're 2-13. Mm. When the good teams they played, the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, blowout, right?
Wasn't a blowout, 10-12.
12-10.
12-10. And the Green Bay Packers. It could have been a blowout to Green Bay Packers. Those teams are
8-2. For a while, it was.
8-2. You know, the thing is, the Cowboys, I still believe, are a good football team. They really are. I think one of the things that people, and I like Jason Garrett. I like Jason Garrett. But I think it's time for the Cowboys to really look at moving on to another coach. Because they have a lot of talent on that football team. Look at the Dallas Cowboys. They have a lot of talent, defensively and offensively. Then they brought in Kellen Moore, the new offensive coordinator, you know, so he's going to make things different. But you know what? And the thing about the NFL, and Shannon, you know this, it doesn't take long. We watch enough film on you. Oh, now we see what you like to do. And I just feel like the Cowboys, like I said, they're a good football team. I can't take that away from them. I still feel that the Philadelphia Eagles are the best team in that division. I feel like Philadelphia could be 5-0 or 4-1 also. But the Cowboys right now are struggling. And I think they're struggling to try to find what their identity is. I mean, they are a running football team, but now they're a passing football team. The defense is supposed to be so great this year. They show signs of greatness at times, then all of a sudden they fall off. Against bad teams, they're really good. They really are. Against the New Orleans Saints, they were good, but they weren't great. They weren't the Cowboys that I thought that I was going to see. But I'm glad I saw that Cowboy team because they lost. But anyway, so I'll say that to say that the Cowboys, I still think, are a good football team. But when you show, when they play against really good opponents, it shows how, I guess, inadequate they really are.
Well, Skip, I tried to prepare you for this. Because every week you came in, the first 3 weeks, you looking in the camera, how about this? And how about that? But I also told you, you can't spell Dallas without back-to-back L's. And y'all took them things 2 weeks in a row, ED. They got them. New Orleans Saints put that thing on them, and Green Bay put that thing on you. Mm. But I tried to tell you, Skip, I said, Skip, you're not playing anybody. Man, my quarterback looked so good. Ezekiel Elliott looked good. My defense, woo! I'm so impressed. I said, Skip, when you play a real team, you're going to find out what you're not. Okay, and here we go. Now you want to talk about Jason Garrett. You want to talk about, no, I want to hear that. You ain't mentioned Jason Garrett's name in the first 3 weeks. You can talk about your team. Your team, you clapping and all this and how good Dak looks. Now you got to play real teams. You get a little break now. You get a little break this week because you got the Jets. The Jets aren't very good, so I'm not going to sit here and try to build them up and make people think they are good because they're not. But you got a little stretch coming, and it's going to start with the Philadelphia Eagles, and they're going to put something on you next Sunday night. And I want you to come in with that energy that you're going to have this Monday. I want you to bring that same energy to the table come next week because they got something for you. 2-13. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, Skip. You're a middle-of-the-pack defense. You're a middle-of-the-pack team. But I think the biggest thing, Skip, in all honesty, I think the biggest thing that's, you're going through an identity crisis. Who are you? What are you? Are you a running team with Zeke? Are you transitioning to move this thing because you believe, Jerry, Stephen Jones believe that we got a franchise quarterback? Franchise quarterbacks do not turn the ball and hand the ball off 30, 40 times a game. They throw the ball. So what are you? Moving forward, Skip, are you a running team or are you a passing team? I think that is the dilemma that's really facing your Cowboys. Mm. You need to identify what you are, who you are, and ride that ship home.
Hmm. So I feel like I'm experiencing deja vu today because last year this started happening and I kept warning both of you it's going to be deja voodoo for both of you because I want you to bring the same energy a week from Monday after the Eagles game at Jerry World. Because remember,
I am.
My team hit bottom last year. And to your very good point, I'm not a Jason Garrett guy. I'm not using an excuse because all the offseason when I started making my predictions, I said this will be done in spite of that head coach. They have to carry him along for the ride because he's not going to detonate them. They have to take him along. So last year they fell to 3-5 after a debacle on Monday Night Football thanks to the Tennessee Titans. And the next week, guess where they went? They went to his town, Philly. They played his quarterback, walk it to him. And they walked all over him. Wolf Hunter picked him. Wolf Hunter picked him.
No, they didn't. Skip, it wasn't a walkover.
Huh? Yeah. And then guess what?
It wasn't a walkover.
Then the Eagles came to Jerry World, and we walked all over them again. And here we went. And we won 8 of our last 10 games. We went 8-2 down the stretch. We won a playoff game, and we gave a little fright, at least, to the Rams
please.
Here. It was a one-score game. My quarterback almost got us back in that game, 30-22. But the point is, they made a lot of people eat a whole lot of fried crow on this show last year, And I think they're poised to do it again. I think they're a better team just because they all got a little older. But they need a scare, and I'm hoping Green Bay was enough of a humiliation, just an annihilation for a while, because it's 31-3. And I'm hoping they, because they did fight back and come within an onside kick of tying that game. Because there should have been an onside kick at the end, because my field goal kicker missed a chip shot. Yeah, well, he did. It should have come down to an onside, right? And at New Orleans, it was a nip-tuck game. I don't know. I'm not ashamed of what happened at New Orleans.
No, they played them tough, but I told you.
And Ed, you see what Skip used to do in garbage time? See, Skip Bayless, quarterback, got a three-course meal in garbage time and tried to tell us it's a five-course meal. Nah, you got that meal in garbage time. You got it in trash.
You know what?
You got it out the trash. You didn't go to no fancy restaurant to get that meal.
Garbage time is when you're down 45-0 and you get back to 45-20. My quarterback got us back in the game because all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers got stopped again, had to punt again, and it's a two-score game, two touchdowns, and my team's got the ball back, and I think the whole stadium is starting to think, uh-oh, they're going to cut it to 31-24. And then, boys, some throats would have tightened up on that other sideline because here we come.
But your guy tightened up. Because what did he do? He came right back out there and threw a pick. But, Skip, you remember last night you saw Pat Shurmur challenged that P.I. Skip, if that was not P.I. on Golden Tate, there is no way they was going to call that a P.I. on Michael Gallup. Now, you saw that last night. Mm-hmm. That was clearly P.I. on Golden Tate.
Okay.
And they didn't overturn that.
Kevin King.
So that should give you indication.
No, Kevin King committed assault and battery on Michael Gallup all the way down the field. No, he did. He's hitting him, grabbing him, slapping him, pulling his head down.
They were kind of grabbing each other.
Hey, you could have challenged that, but of course, my coach was out of challenges at that point, and it would have deleted the pick that he threw because he threw it to where Gallup was supposed to turn out and catch it, and all of a sudden, he's on the ground because he got thrown down. Way to go.
You know, one thing, they overturned it.
You know, one thing about the Cowboys is, too, is that when they play good teams, they give up two TDs more. When they play good teams, they give up two TDs less.
Would you like to look at what happened last year?
Well, let me ask you, are we in last year or are we in this year?
Okay, well, we're growing up right before your very eyes, and we're following the same script we did last year.
You know, it's funny,
where we struggle early, and then all of a sudden, boom,
you didn't struggle early. You jumped out on everybody early, and just like Shannon said, you know, you jumped out against the Giants, the Redskins, and you're like, look at Dak. Look how great we look. We're going to beat everybody. We're here to stay. Yeah. And now, all of a sudden, it's like, well, you know, we did this. We did that. Mm. So, I mean.
Oh, but here's the thing. But this is what he told me. You told me last year, you guys grew up. You say, right before your eyes, we took off once we got a bar. But Skip Bayless, if we keep shooting the same scene in the movie, when will we ever finish the movie? You keep talking about you growing up. You grew up last year. Mm. You're growing up right now. At what point in time are you grown and we get to watch this movie? Mm. I'm waiting.
Well, I'm waiting to see Space Jam 2 because LeBron fired the director. So I think they had to reshoot every scene. Am I right?
We're not talking about LeBron. Yeah. We're not talking about LeBron and Space Jam. Yeah. We're talking about your movie and them Cowboys.
Okay. I'm going to give you this one point. My defense horrifies me because it's taking years off my life. It's going to be the death of me because I can't figure it out. Because late last year, they just shut down Drew Brees and your New Orleans Saints. Kamara, Drew, they had nothing. Drew Brees threw for 127 at Jerry World. Kamara went 11 carries for 36 yards. And it was 13-10 Dallas. And then Seattle comes against the same defense to Jerry World for a playoff game. They led the league in rushing last year. And what happened in the playoff game? They went 24 carries for a grand total of 73 yards. That same defense then travels to Los Angeles to play your Rams and gives up 273 yards?
Plus.
Are you kidding me? That's like a game for Eric Dickerson, like 273, right? Yeah. So I can't figure that out because then we come to this year, and down in New Orleans, they did a number on that offense, and it's a pretty good offense because you still have Kamara and Michael Thomas.
Absolutely.
And it's pretty good, and they kept him out of the end zone the whole game. And then they come.
What about your offense?
Yeah. I'm talking about my defense.
What
are you listening? Are you listening? Is the line clogged?
I want to talk about Dak.
Do you have your earpiece in? Okay, I'm talking about my defense. Yeah. And by the way, speaking of Dak, I needed to correct something that Jen said. She said he's got 4 interceptions over the last 2 games. No, he's got 1 because he deserved only 1. That's all he's got.
But they count him. Wait, they don't count the other 3?
No, they don't count.
They don't count the other 3?
No, they don't count.
Really?
No, seriously.
It's Skip's book, they don't count.
No, well, he didn't. The end of the New Orleans game, he throws a Hail Mary on which he gets blasted by a slot blitzer right in the face, and they don't call roughing.
Well, let me ask you. If he didn't throw a touchdown, they'd have called it a touchdown, wouldn't they?
Okay. Well,
there you go. It would have been a touchdown. It threw a touchdown.
I'm just talking about he didn't deserve that one. The one to Amari early.
Yeah, he deserved it.
The one early to Amari. Amari's talked all week about, I dropped it. It hit both of my hands. Is that deserving?
He tried to make Dak feel good.
Hey, that's football.
He's trying to make Dak feel good.
Okay.
That's the way they count it. I will say your defense is getting some help back likely this Sunday in defensive tackle Antoine Woods.
He's big.
Out 3 weeks with a sprained MCL, and he is. He's much better than his backup. So you may see.
And by the way, I think I might get my 2 starting star tackles back for this game, too, because we did not have them against Green Bay.
Well, you play against the big-time Jets, though. I know it's going to be that's a nail biter there. Now. That's a tough one. They're playing against the Jets.
All right, so Odell Beckham Jr. has only had 4 catches for 47 yards and 0 touchdowns in the past 2 weeks. OBJ admits, the lack of production has been frustrating, and he wants to be able to help his team win. Baker Mayfield echoed that sentiment, saying, you can't blame the receiver for being frustrated when he is one of the best in the league. Shannon, is OBJ turning out to be a strength or a weakness for the Browns?
Well, it's hard to call him a strength at this point because they're not winning games. And but when I look at it, Odell is in an unwinnable situation because he plays a dependent position. If they win the game, Odell, like last week, 2 weeks ago when they beat Baltimore, Odell had 2 catches for 20 yards. Man, they paid Odell $20 million to catch 2 balls? Okay, Odell catches 100 yards, they lose. Why are you paying him that money? He's not winning, so Odell can't win. I tweeted the other night when he finally got his hand on the ball in the punt return and he fumbled. I said, he's pressing. I said, the thing is that he wants to make a play so bad. He's so, man, I haven't had the ball in my hands in such a long time. I'm going to show him. I'm going to make this big play, and therefore, Skip, they'll call more plays from me, and I'll show them what I can do on the offensive side of the football. He starts to press. You drop passes. You fumble the ball. Skip, he can't win. Odell is in an unwinnable situation because he's put himself in this position. See, like, if they win a game and Julio only catches, 30 yards, nobody says anything. But Odell, if he only catches, like, why are you paying Odell $20 million for 20 yards? Or if he catches for $1.50, they lose. Them empty stats, they don't mean anything. So a part of me really feel bad for Odell because I don't know how he wins, Skip. Really, at this point, I don't know how he can win.
I hear everything you just said. And I want to like Odell. I want to like him on and off the field. But I'm to the point that when it comes to the Cleveland Browns, he's just more trouble than he's worth. That's obviously what the Giants finally decided. He's just more trouble than he's worth. He's not worth this much money for us. We can do better by spreading the ball than force-feeding Odell. So now Freddie Kitchens has gone haywire trying to force-feed Odell. He lines him up at running back, and then he lets him throw balls, and then he runs reverses, and then
lets him run the ball.
Then he's catching punts. And he's pressing, and he drops the punt. And it's hard to watch because I remain a big Baker fan. Obviously, I was back to his University of Oklahoma days. And yet, I'm starting not to recognize the Baker I saw last year with the Browns when they did spread the ball. And he didn't really care where he threw it. Jarvis seems like a good guy. He gets over-emotional occasionally, but he was not force-feeding Jarvis. Jarvis was the leading receiver last year, but Antonio Callaway caught a bunch of big balls. And Rashard Higgins, who's been hurt and is supposed to come back now for the Seattle game, caught a bunch of balls last year. And Njoku has been hurt, but he caught his share, and I think he was on his way to catching more than his share this year. So I like the way the offense operated last year, bing, 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 throwing it wherever – to whomever was open last year, And now it feels like Baker's mentality is, I got to find Odell. And when he waits to find Odell, he waits too long and he gets sacked. So it's feeling wrong. Every time I watch them, it just feels, I know at Baltimore, Baker had a big game, but it wasn't because of Odell. As you point out, it was two catches for 20 yards.
Well, Skip, the thing is that what teams will do is that they try to frustrate Odell early. Let's double him, get him frustrated. He'll get upset. He'll start to press, and then we have him. And that's the thing. I kind of feel bad. But what Freddie Kitchens, instead of trying to make everybody happy, play through Chubb. Skip, what teams don't realize is that when you play action.
Sure.
Look at Tom Brady when he play action, Skip, how wide the field is. Look at Dak. Skip, I played in a system when we had TD back there, and we play action. I'm wide open. Ed McCaffrey, Rod Smith is wide open.
I got it.
Play through that instead of spreading the ball around. Odell, you'll be better off if they can run the football. They'll be better off.
And to your point, the Patriots led the NFL last year in play action passes. Okay? So, Baker, this could be your best friend. So, you got to play through Chubb, but you can't force it to that guy every time.
No.
Great stuff, guys.
No, Seahawks, nor should you.
Browns up next this Sunday. We'll see if Odell has any better luck this time around. No mercy.
Hey, college football fans. Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Time for our final topic of the day. Saturday, number 6 Oklahoma and number 11 Texas face off in the Red River Showdown here on Fox. Heisman hopefuls Jalen Hurt and Sam Ellinger will face off for the first time as they each look to have their own Heisman moments. Shannon, who wins this one?
I've got Oklahoma. Lincoln Riley, you know, he's the best play caller, best offensive guy mind in football right now. That might be college or NFL. The way he can call plays, be it run, pass, get guys in and get guys wide open is unbelievable. I just don't trust this Texas defense, Skip. They're fifth worst in pass defense allowed, averaging 325, giving up 325 yards passing a game. Now, Joe Burrows, LSU, had 471 yards passing. He had three wide receivers catch for over 125 yards in the game. What do you think CeeDee Lamb, what do you think Charleston Rambo is going to do? I like Oklahoma, and I like them to cover the 11.
Oh, you're kidding. I am horrified by the 11-point spread. It's way, way too many, and I am a diehard University of Oklahoma fan, but I do not trust that defense. This will be a Red River shootout, but it will be close. I'm just going to reverse last year's score because Texas won this game last year 48-45. And I'll say that Jalen Hurts wins this game 48-45. I do think he will seize the lead in the Heisman race because I see him throwing for at least 300 and running for at least 100 and putting on a Heisman show for national television on Fox. Go ahead.
Well, if he only throws for 300, he should fall back. Because they're giving up 325, and lesser quarterbacks have thrown for 300. If he's your Heisman frontrunner, which you say he is, he should get about 450 to 500 against this poor's defense. Because you said he's better than Joe Burrow.
But Joe I'm Burrow's saying that Oklahoma will run for 250 total rush yards, so there are only so many plays in a game. So, again, if he throws for 300, I will be extremely impressed. No
mercy. Thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Keep an eye out for the weekend edition of the podcast tomorrow morning, featuring this week's best segments. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Fox Sports, one of one.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.